You're listening to the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Well, good morning, Kyle.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you for joining us here.
Of course, I'm thrilled and ready to give the listeners something to listen to, Mike.
Kyle, for those that have not had the pleasure of coming across what I'm going to call your magic and your artwork online, tell the listeners who you are, where you're from, why we're here.
Good morning. My name is Kyle Palmer, co-owner of Parker's Pharmacy here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. My title is the Director of Marketing, and that's just what I do. That's what I love to do. I've been in marketing for the past 10, 11 years now. So that's my take on the business. I love every aspect of it. Digital marketing is what I think that I do well. And I'll leave that up to others to say if I do it well or not as well. But yeah, digital marketing is my niche, as well as just making great relationships with people in the community. So it goes hand in hand.
Kyle, I came across Parker's Pharmacy about a year ago as I was kind of wandering through the internet on social media and that. And we connected, I guess, more business to business than person to person. But every day I would turn around and you guys had not necessarily a bombardment at all of social, but a very nice flow. And everything that you put out was like, it just seemed like high quality kind of perfection. A month or so ago, when I was thinking about the podcast and who I wanted to be on it and so on, I sent a generic note over to your guys' place on Instagram. And I said, whoever is in charge of this, I want to talk to you.
Yes, yes.
And so I had
I was a little I was a little delayed in getting back to you, but I was like, I was really thrilled that you reached out too.
And I saw you and your brother on, you know, on some of your stuff, but I had no idea who was going to be replying. And I got one of the head honchos himself. And so that's why we're here. Any of the listeners, before you finish this, take a pause the show here a second. Go over to Parker's Pharmacy and you'll find them and you'll see what I mean. So, Kyle, let's start with your education. You've got education in your education. Is that right?
Yes. I come from a line of educators, 11 uncles and aunts, and nine of them are educators from elementary all the way to pharmacy professors. So educators are deep in our family. I finished an education myself up in Montana, Billings, Montana. Yes, that's a little strange. I played college basketball at Montana State University, and I finished my degree there. But immediately after that, I've always been interested in marketing, and I dove into it. I started my own marketing firm in Billings, Montana, while I lived there for a total of 10 years.
You knew sort of right away you weren't going to be going into education per se, or?
I knew that I wasn't going into education right away. I've always been an entrepreneur, but I also knew that learning how to build a team and run an operation, you have to learn how to teach people.
Yeah, for sure.
I used my education degree to assist me with learning how to teach, relate, and build a team. They didn't know that while I was in school. And can I teach? I can go in and teach right now if I would like to, you know. But
yeah, right.
I took a different angle on my education degree, and it's actually helping us out right now with Parker's Pharmacy, how we're able to teach our employees how we need to get them to where we need to get them.
Yeah. And from my end, you guys need to get in there quickly because you've opened up another within a year or so. You've opened up what, another location or?
Yeah. So we are currently in the building stages right now. We just put the signage up a month ago, and we're currently building, putting tile in and everything right now in the second location. Tile and electrical right now. That's where we're at on that project. So, yeah, we're expanding really fast, which is a great thing because it can be on the other end where business isn't moving. But everything's been going really well so far for us here.
How far are those two locations apart?
The second location is probably like four and a half, five miles away.
I've always had just one location for our pharmacy, but I've always thought I maybe wanted more just so I could hide from people. So no one, so no one really had tabs on me.
Where's Mike at? He's at the other location.
He's got to be working hard over there.
That's hilarious. But just to give you a little background, and if you look at our logo, it says established in 2016. So that is kind of confusing to some that don't know the story.
Tell us.
So in 2016, Orlando and I.
This is your brother?
Yes. Brother pharmacist.
Older brother, younger?
My oldest brother is three of us, actually. So we're 8 years apart. So Orlando is my oldest brother, a graduate of Xavier University of Louisiana School College of Pharmacy.
Okay.
He contacted me understanding that I had a heavy background and skill set in marketing in 2016. He was doing well off for himself here in Louisiana as he was practicing nuclear pharmacy.
Okay.
And I was in Montana running the marketing firm there. So he contacted me and said, hey, I have this idea of opening up a string of independent pharmacies. I had no idea about pharmacy besides what he talks to me about, you know?
Yeah.
But we both were away from home for a little while, and we just decided to make that go, be closer to family as our family continued to age and grow. So in 2016, we developed Parker's Pharmacy, and we actually started game planning for 2 years straight. And we opened up the pharmacy April of 2018.
2 years straight.
Two years of planning.
Where does the name Parker's come from?
Parker is Orlando's daughter, the first girl of the family. So we decided to name it after Parker.
Ah, that's beautiful.
Uh-huh. That was just a little background, just so people understand. You know, well, yeah. I see 2016 on the logo, but I also see that you guys had a grand opening in 2018. So that's the little background on it.
You guys did your homework. The logo's got the a little bit of the Saints.
Yeah.
Saints in there. We're big Saints fans here because I went to Purdue. And when Breeze was playing at Purdue, my oldest son was maybe like five or so.
Okay.
Somewhere in there.
Gotcha.
So he took a liking to Drew Breeze, not knowing Breeze's future. Mm. And then when Breeze went to the Chargers, our house was kind of a Chargers design.
You follow him. We follow him. He's a great guy.
And then it went over to the Saints, and we had to get the Saints memorabilia.
Oh yeah.
And so we've been down to St. Louis twice to watch the Saints play the Rams, and we also went to Detroit once to watch the Saints play the Lions. So we saw them like three times live, but we've never made it down to those parts down there.
Oh man, it's a beautiful thing. So I mean, if you just scroll on our Instagram and Facebook accounts, we have season tickets. So we are heavily
Who dat
nation, you know.
Yeah. How far are you guys from? I don't know any. I'm terrible on geography. How far are you from both the New Orleans, the stadium, and also all of the you know, hurricane stuff from years back? How where are you guys compared to that?
We are an hour away from New Orleans.
Okay.
And
and that's where that's where all the hurricane was, obviously.
The biggest impact, right? So when everyone from outside of Louisiana, you know, speaks on the hurricanes, everyone was affected in Louisiana.
Everyone was. In some way or form.
But after Katrina hit, New Orleans really had the worst hit of all. But yeah, we're just an hour away.
Yeah, so everybody was affected by the weather itself.
Yep.
Not just the ramifications of it.
Oh, of course.
All right, so Kyle, what happens then in that... What happens in that 2 years as your brother calls you and, you know, you're responding? Do you just start planning then or?
Yeah, basically, yes. A lot of research, a lot of market research that he was doing that was totally different from what I was doing. So he coached me up in a lot of areas that I had no idea about. And then I ran with that to do homework. I researched a lot of other pharmacies across the nation, independent pharmacies across the nation, successful from what I can see, and then some unsuccessful ones that I've heard about, right? So yeah. I researched the whole spectrum. And then, of course, I incorporated that into my game plan and strategy marketing-wise.
I'm seeing your graphic design stuff. You've got also the love and the skill of the background, the market research.
Yeah, and it's totally different, right? So I think, and I speak about this a lot, I have a seminar coming up on the 19th of September where I'm talking about marketing. It's all strategy. We can put out great content on our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter pages. It just looks good. But what's the strategy associated? Is it associated with, are we releasing it perfect timing for cold and flu season? Are we releasing it perfect timing for National Drug Takeback Day? Is the community involved? So it has to have a strategy associated with it. So, and with that strategy, I was able to attend, thankfully, before we even opened the doors, I was able to attend two of Cardinal Health's conferences.
Gotcha.
So, and, you know, all the continuing education. I'm not even a pharmacist myself, but I was in all of the CE classes that I can get in one day.
Yeah.
You know, so that was amazing for myself, not being a pharmacist or a new pharmacy owner myself at the time, to attend those classes to learn and soak up as much information from the presenter, but also I was questioning all of the other pharmacy owners and pharmacists that was attending.
Was that their like retail business conference you were at?
Yeah, we went to the first one in San Antonio. I think that was in 2016.
That's about the first one I didn't go to, I think.
See, we missed out on each other, man.
I'd gone to 4 or 5 years before that, and I think that was one of the first ones I didn't go to. And then what was the next? What was the next one?
The next one was in San Diego, and that was beautiful there.
My son has been to both of those because we send someone every year, but I guess they left me behind. maybe they don't even show me the advertisements anymore. They just don't want me to go. Yeah, because when you talk about your strategy, that's something that I was just feeling. I was picking that up too, that you seem to have great graphics and a great message and great timing. And until you mentioned that to me, I wouldn't be able to say, oh, this is what they're doing. But that was the, as you mentioned these things to me, that's kind of the feeling that I get.
Yeah.
Let's start with something as simple as the logo, Kyle. Is that something that, and I'm asking deeper about the graphics and so on. Are you doing those graphics yourself, or do you have an assistant or hire that or something?
We have an in-house graphic designer, photographer, and videographer that we work with consistently, so we don't jump around with graphic designers and things like that, just because, you know, as you jump around with different graphic designers, your look and brand can get lost. So we do have a in-house team that's doing everything, where I am the person that's, you know, delegating and telling them what we need to get done at the certain times. But yeah, I don't personally do it myself. I am more so the creative and strategist.
I need to back up then. Don't give the world any secrets you can't give away. Dance around any of
Mike, it's and I'm glad you mentioned that. It's no secrets.
All right.
Meaning you just got to do the work.
You got to do the work.
And it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
But you have to do it.
That is such a great point. All right. So during those 2 years that you and Orlando were talking, what were you coming up with? It was obviously a plan, and it seems like it's a plan I've never seen before. What was that plan? What was that overarching idea? Like, it's almost like you had a mission statement of your marketing, you know, like a strong mission statement of your marketing. And what was that?
That's a great question, Mike. With my experience, I've seen small businesses as well as large businesses take the route of doing the normal advertisement and marketing strategies, whether it's a billboard, right? Whether it's a commercial on your local news station, whether it's an ad in a newspaper, right? Where's the connection, Mike? So that was my mindset, that they can see you driving by and driving on the interstate or on the street to and pass up your billboard. They can see you on the local news stations, but how are you really hitting them where their heart is?
Mm.
I truly believe that if you connect with people at the heart, you have them forever.
Mm.
All of the other traditional marketing strategies that people are doing, you're here today and gone tomorrow because you don't have a real true connection. So everything that we're doing marketing wise is really trying to make deep connections with the current patients, but also potential patients. That was the mission and vision. Then we break it down from there to strategies to go after how we can get that done.
All right. I'm hooked. I buy into that. Now, what, break that down and then to your general strategies.
In any business, right? So I'll break it down. 6 months, I moved from Montana, Billings, Montana, August of 2017. So all this communication and research, Orlando was in Louisiana, I was in Montana. We're still running our businesses, doing our day-to-days, but we were researching in all of our extra hours that we had. So I moved down in 2017 to Baton Rouge to get this ball started. But I told Orlando that the marketing had to start the day that I got there. It takes time for people to just say you like a pair of shoes, Mike. It might take you two or three times to see that shoe, maybe on someone else or maybe as an advertisement online to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go get it.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely do you see people making, oh, it's a new pharmacy. I'm going to go in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right when you open the doors, right? So yeah. I knew that from the start that we needed to build up a marketing campaign before we opened the door.
Yeah, because I always tell people on that point, I always tell people it's like, guys, just because we're new or we do something new, it's not like we're inventing the wheel. It's not like people in your area said, oh, there's such thing as drugs. We can start using medicine now. They're already serviced by somebody.
Exactly.
Not as well, hopefully, as you could or I could, mm-hmm. but they're already being serviced. So just because you're new, you've got a big hurdle still.
Exactly. So with that being said, for that 6 month span before we actually opened the doors, we were at every church. We were at every community health fair. We were at every school. So we built up a lot of momentum. We were sponsoring things. Our pharmacy was still going through approvals and everything, right? We were still getting everything really rolling, but we were deeply in the community getting our name out there.
Even if someone said you could have opened that first day, was it better waiting that 6 months because it was building up that
anticipation,
that tension, right? That anticipation.
Yeah. So, I mean, we knew the areas that people are frustrated with, you know, the big boxes.
Yeah.
So, and we knew where we were going to be able to excel in those areas. So,
on purpose, you wanted that anticipation to build up.
Of course.
Like the trailer for a movie coming out.
You can't explain it any better than what you just explained. That's exactly what it is, you know. So, that was some of the strategy. So, in Louisiana, the first big strategy that we had, right? In Louisiana, we love our crawfish. Right. That's the thing, right? Boiled crawfish. Is it the healthiest thing for us? No, right? But it's a strategy. So right after our grand opening was April 19th, we had our first event. So 2 days after our grand opening, we had an event called, got it right here still. It's called Transfer and Peel. Okay. So
whoa.
It's very unorthodox, right? Very unorthodox. So meaning all the people in the community that we've connected with already, they're following us on Facebook and Instagram, waiting for us to open our doors. We finally had our grand opening event. Okay, so now if you, your family member, your friends want to stop by Parker's Pharmacy and transfer your prescriptions from CVS, Walgreens, Walmart, wherever you're currently at,
yeah,
we're going to give you a couple of pounds of crawfish, corn, potatoes, but you have to transfer. It's very unorthodox for a pharmacy to do this, but that day alone, in a matter of 3 hours, we had 250 transfers. Parkers.
We're audio here, but Kyle held up this beautiful looking postcard. It said transfer and peel on the postcard. I'm assuming that went to your mailing database you had gotten for the 6 months of anticipation. Yep. And so on. Were they eating around in your parking lot? Perfect. Or were they taking?
I'll explain the setup of the event, right? We have a drive-through access here. It was a day where they get to meet everyone, our staff. They get to walk through the pharmacy. The pharmacy is beautiful, new, fresh. We had live music. We had some other health vendors out there. You know, we had the table set up. You know, everyone had to mingle, got a chance to mingle. And those photos are also on our social media pages as well, just to be able to see the community. We were out there for like 4 hours, man, just enjoying each other.
And by this time, you and Orlando are rock stars, right? Because you got people for 6 months that have been wanting to. Well, I know you met some of them at the churches and things like that, yeah. But you've got people that want to then see you in your element and congratulate you and all this kind of stuff.
Of course. I must say that's the second piece. But the first piece that the first reason that we became rock stars that day was because we was giving away free crawfish. And if you know the level of what free crawfish can do out here, you'll understand it.
Well, I love that. It's like, I don't know, us in Michigan giving away, you know, instead of a coupon or something, is giving away warm cherry pies. Yeah, or
because it's cold there.
We're stupid. I don't know why we stay around here in the winter, but let's say that was in the summer, though.
Hey.
So that day happens then. That's a really cool thing.
On the business side, instead of opening up our pharmacy in this 6 to 8 months that we're struggling to get people through the doors, literally 2 days after the grand opening, we have 250 people immediately.
Wow.
And it actually just took off from there. And we've done many other strategies since then that we'll probably talk through in this interview. But I definitely advise future pharmacy owners that's not acquiring an existing pharmacy.
Yeah.
And it has to work out this way, hopefully. But give yourself enough time to build up something before you get into just opening the doors without momentum.
Yeah. So it sounds to me, and I'm going to jump the gun on this, it's sort of like when people hear social media from you, it's almost like you're saying the social media is secondary, because this could have happened 10 years ago or 10 years from now or 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was community, filling the needs and making connections. And whether it's social media or they're carried by Pony Express or by pigeons, it doesn't really matter. The message is getting to them, and that is the unity, the community, and so on.
Yes.
But like what I saw in my head from you, and the reason I wanted to talk is because I got pulled into that. Mm-hmm. I think as we're even talking now, I got pulled in, I guess, now that I think about it, less from your social media, but more from what it was speaking to my soul about being the community, but then being able to communicate that to other people and let them join the community too.
Exactly. You're hitting it right on the head. This is home for us, you know, and we have some plans to actually show. It's going to be a documentary that we'll put out. We're from a very, very tough part of Baton Rouge.
Mm.
You know, lower economic development, single mom, three boys. My mom pulled us out, gave us that education that we needed for us to move out of this area to continue our life. So when we hear community, and when we say community, it means a lot.
Yes.
Just because we know what needs to be done in our area. So and we go fight for that every day and do whatever we need to do to assist those in our community. So that's definitely the piece, the heart of Parker's Pharmacy, the community. We won't stray away from that. Year one to year 50, as long as we're in business, the community definitely going to dictate who we are and what we do.
There are communities all over the place, but your community is really means community, because community is needed in your area more than a lot of other areas, that bonding and that support and so on.
Without a doubt, you know, so everything we do, you know, the strategy, everything is associated with it, which I'll lead into now. the nonprofit organization that we started, right? So before we even opened, as I was doing research, I understood being in an area where it's a huge transportation issue, you know, financial issues and struggles that our community face. We knew we needed to step in, you know, to assist those individuals some way, somehow. So we developed our nonprofit organization titled Parker's Cares Foundation. And we're going to do many things with it. But as of right now, you know, we're able to legally assist those with their copay assistance who really, I really had, and you know, I'm new to pharmacy, right? So I had a situation where a lady was like, you know, we delivered to her for a while since we opened. 6 months from now, she called us and said, hey, Kyle, I just can't get my medicine right now. I had to go buy toilet tissue. You know, so for me, Orlando probably has experienced many of these scenarios. But for me, being new to the industry, I was like, man.
Yeah.
You know, it really hit me. But, you know, knowing that we had the foundation, the medicine was only like $2-3.
And part of that, you said legally, because a lot of the contracts and stuff say you're not able to discount, that you can't waive the copay.
You can't waive it.
And so on.
You can't not waive the copay. That is illegal. But the way around it is the nonprofit, which is more work. So some pharmacy owners may not want to implement that because it's more work. But if you plan it in advance, put people in the place to run it and make sure that it's ran properly, then it works out best. So with the nonprofit organization, we had a Black Friday sale in 2017. And you can find this on our Instagram page where we had, I wish I could show them to you. We sold Christmas ornaments. We sold out, actually. We had like four different color patterns with Parker's Pharmacy logo for $15. And 100% of the proceeds went directly to Parker's Cares Foundation. And I think we were at $1,600-$1,700. So now that was the first initiative to raise the money for the foundation that will assist those in our community that can't pay for their copays or need some DME items, over-the-counter items that they just can't afford. So that's a way around it. So that was the first initiative that helped us out big time. We did
something
else
recently. And in
the meantime, it's like
anybody who sees that, nobody could disagree with that. You know, I mean, it's like a beautiful thing associated with your place.
You know, we're keeping the momentum, Mike, and that's the plan. And how can we keep the momentum so we can continually grow, but also continue to grow deeper and have deeper connections in the community?
If somebody were living, let's say, in a little bit of a vacuum or something, if they saw your Parker's Care Foundation before seeing Parker's Pharmacy, would that be okay?
It won't hinder us in any way. And I'm assuming that you're speaking on, you know, individuals that hear about the Parker's Cares Foundation that need it before they actually hear about the pharmacy, maybe?
If you could choose, would you always rather have someone hear about Parker's Pharmacy before the foundation? Or is the foundation such a nice builder that you'd actually like to have them hear about the foundation before the pharmacy?
Great question, Mike. Honestly, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Because it's all tied into helping our community.
Yeah, right.
So we understand that the Parker's Cares Foundation isn't an unlimited amount of money just sitting there that we can assist, right? So it's a case-by-case basis, you know.
Yeah, because you don't want to have it like everybody come for this because it's free.
No,
you don't have it for that.
Definitely, you know. So we do as much as we can throughout the year. We have approximately like 3 to 4 different fundraisers throughout the year to donate that 100% of that money to the foundation. And it's there. Now, if we run out, then that's a case by case basis. We can't really do anything about that. issue. But it doesn't really matter if they hear about Parker's Cares Foundation first. You know, I think if it comes to a situation where the foundation isn't able to step in, I think it's just great communication that we have to mm-hmm. have on our end
for sure.
to let them know, hey, we may not have it right now to assist yeah. you, but trust me, with the initiatives that we have coming up, we'll be able to assist you soon. So right. if we have to turn down someone temporarily, they'll probably come back after a while.
Yeah, yeah.
I found a second thing though with that we
oh,
did.
Yeah.
So you know, it was time for us to raise more money for the foundation, and I struggle with pronouncing these drug names. I'm gonna just keep it honest with you, and they pick on me every day in here, every single day. So you know what? I was like, hey, let's raise some money. We got a community sponsor. They donated, I think, $1,000, and some other individuals in the community donated as well. But the objective was, if I pronounce this drug name correct, I get to pie my brother in the face with a pie. Now, if I get it incorrect, he gets to pie me. So
oh, that's great.
We released a video. It's on our Instagram as well. It was called the Pie Face Challenge. And I think we raised like $1,700-$1,800 for that. So, you know, different things where
that
we get to have
awesome.
Fun. We want to make this enjoyable as possible. So we got to have fun and raise some money.
I don't want your head to explode with all these cool things that you're telling me, Kyle, and me saying how great ideas these are. So
it's deeper than that. You know, it's serving its purpose. And that's really all that matters.
That is so cool because sometimes you'll see a company, like a medical company, for example. Mm-hmm. I tell my employees, guys, we're not going to dress up on Halloween mm-hmm. because nobody dress up because someone's going to wear either something risque or they're going to have a clown nose on and have to go out and talk to somebody mm-hmm. about their mother dying of cancer or something.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want you to do that with a clown nose on. Mm-hmm. But what's so cool about your idea is you can get goofy,
mm-hmm.
but then someone's not saying, well, I don't want those guys being goofy. I want them being serious about my medicine. Mm-hmm. But what you're able to do is have fun with the social media, but then balance it way over here by saying, no, we're getting goofy for a cause, mm-hmm. for something bigger than ourselves. We're doing this for the foundation instead of just to market the pharmacy. So that's just a beautiful balance you have there doing those things.
Yeah, and it's important that we keep our positive energy. You know,
yeah.
you know, with the way the world is, it's a lot of negativity out there. So it's kind of like
right.
to stay clear of that. We want you to walk in our doors and just feel the energy from each employee mm-hmm. that we have here to know that no matter what I'm going through personally, whether I'm sick, my family members are sick, whatever the case may be. Every time I walk in here or see you guys online, the energy's there, the positivity's there. You guys are enjoying life because that's what we're trying to put off. You know, I mean,
exactly.
Optimistic. You know, we
yeah.
want you to. No matter what, we all know life is serious and it's hard for all
yeah.
of us. So throughout
yeah.
it all, how can we still be optimistic? And that's just
right.
what we're about.
I know that in the midst of running a pharmacy, that events are hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard because events are, they take a lot to get going, a lot to market. And when they're done, they're kind of done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never have a lot of events at my store just because they're really hard.
Of course.
And they pass by as time passes by. They're just passing. So when you guys are spending time on these events, you've got to do it with a purpose and with something that's going to dig deep into someone's soul
mm-hmm.
and stay there for years and years and years.
Oh, yeah.
And if not, there's no sense doing them. But you know that every one of these you're pulling off is not just shenanigans to have people take a look at your sign.
Mm-hmm.
It's really digging deep into their soul.
Yeah, no, and you're definitely correct about how much time, energy, and how that you have to dedicate to these events and strategies, we get it from our mom. And if and our mom's is, she's in here as well. So
how about your other brother? How about your third brother? Is he still around?
He's not as around as much as he would like to be.
Is he in the business at all or not?
It's just my it's Orlando and I in the business. You know, my mom and them will stop by here and there. But my brother's in the real estate. Other brother's in the real estate. So he does a lot of real estate deals.
Gotcha.
But, you know, my mom gives us that energy. And that's exactly where we get it from. So we are able to run how we run long term. So we're very thankful for that. But yeah, these events are, as you know, after you get through with one, you can be burned out and you still have the day-to-day operations to exceed in.
Very much so. You know? Very much so. So.
I totally understand that piece.
So you had that 6 months build up. You've got the events, transfer and peel, and then going on to some of these other events. Anything else in the strategy that you can share with the listeners? Or is that it, the buildup and that deep bond?
No, it's more than that, I will say, and I would love to share it. There's no secrets here, but independence, we have a lot to prove. You know, it's like we have to make sure that our service is better. We have to make sure that our, you know, that our brand is acceptable. So what I'm seeing out there when I'm doing my research is that when you look at our graphic design and how we present ourselves, whether it's the content writing, making sure that there's no grammars, making sure that the graphic design looks like it competes with the highest company out there, you know, whether it's videography, we're going to make sure that our commercial is no lesser than what you will see from a Walgreens or a CVS, quality-wise.
Right.
Because the consumers, they're not crazy, right? They know we're not as big as a CVS or a Walgreens, right? But that doesn't mean we can't present ourselves to say, I want them to accept everything about us. From the first time they see us, right? So, for example, Mike, on Instagram, social media, Facebook, or Twitter, if you see someone asking for business, asking for the community to support their business, but their graphic designs are blurry, you know, it's not at a professional level, some consumers automatically say from the first time they spot you online that they may not have it together. It might not be worth to go over there. The same thing with the quality of a website. The quality of a website, while you're sleeping, your website is doing everything for you. Whether it's the physicians, the doctors looking at it to check you out to see what services you provide. So if that website isn't up to par and actually, I don't want you to just look at my website. I want you to like, we want to grab you by the heart when you look at our website or our Facebook, right? So I'm saying that all to say that the quality has to be there because that's your first line. It's like a chess game, right? The pawns are going out first.
Yeah, you know? Right.
So they're the first front line. So how are they representing us?
Yeah,
the
right.
The people that are seeing us first, whether it's social media, I need you to give me a shot.
Yeah.
You know, so by that, I'm going to make sure that all of my content is the highest quality content, even if you try to compare it to CVS or Walgreens. I want it to be better.
Arguably, you want to compare it to the best of any business.
Any business.
Because let's just say that all of the pharmacy chains had crappy logos or social media. So you've maybe won that battle, but you want to win the battle of the best of the best.
Exactly. And just to be honest, when I first started doing my research, I noticed that pharmacy and also maybe healthcare is an outdated industry where marketing isn't the thing. Maybe because people need it, right? They have to go there, right? So one of my main thing is when you see the logo of Parker's Pharmacy, or you go to our videos and things, it's just a freshness, right? The powder, the powder blue is accepting, right? It's very important when we're selecting colors that we understand what colors do to people and people's minds. You know, the reds, what does that mean to us? The dark colors, what does that mean to us? So everything that we utilize in our brand and our marketing are welcoming colors. We have smiling people. We want you to come in. I don't want to just use things that's going to make you think like, man, I don't know if they're going to accept my type or my kind or me if I go there. You know, we accept everyone.
Yeah. For those of you that haven't seen Kyle's stuff yet, it's almost as if their designs are so sharp that I don't want to steer anybody wrong in saying that they're 3D, but they're almost like 3D. They're so sharp that they truly jump off. They have a tightness and there's something definitive about them that they're almost jumping out at you. They're so tight.
Yeah. And that's just the experience of our graphic designer, you know, being patient and selecting someone that's going to give us exactly what we need, you know, but this is business, right?
Right.
What I know is sooner or later, our social media platforms will turn into revenue streams.
Mm-hmm.
And
tell me more about that.
So right now, we are currently at like 15,000-16,000 followers on social media. Right now, I'm planting seeds and doing strategic things. So once we start putting products out there, and I can't speak on too much right now, but start going in a certain direction to online sales, we have generated people that believe in us, our quality, our brand. Many pharmacies are only focused on their day-to-day, what they have to get done for the business to succeed. Right. I understand that part as well, but I also know that how the world is trending and moving towards online and digital, that we have to position ourselves to be ready for another stream of revenue. So just for instance, right, Instagram, little things, right? Instagram, when you reach 10,000 followers, so I'm trying to get to 10,000.
Then you can have the swipe up,
you can have the swipe up. So meaning I can tell people, hey, click this link in my bio to go buy this, right? That's too much work for people nowadays, believe it or not. Two clicks away is too much for people to, like, that's sad, right? Yeah. But it's just making it that much more easier for my 10,000 followers to say, man, that's a nice something that we're going to have here soon.
I know you can't tell anybody, but let me ask you this. Maybe at least you can share this. Is this going to be a branded store or is it going to be a branded product?
Both.
Okay. I know you can't tell me much more, but. And when I say a branded product, is it something that people are going to be able to have branded that they have in their hands?
Yes. That will be out sooner than the store and another huge product that we will be releasing. So I think
One point back on your point about having a certain quality of your
content.
Presentation is medical has almost been like the Department of Motor Vehicles, where it's kind of been almost like a monopoly. Mm-hmm. And so as much as a DMV doesn't care all that much about their marketing, the same. And also, I always tell my team, it's like, guys, yes, we might be independent. We might think we're better. We might think all this kind of stuff. But if someone new comes into the area, it's like if you go into an area, like if I come down to your area, there's going to be a McDonald's. McDonald's is not great, but I know what I'm getting. Maybe somebody will say, well, why didn't you go to Joe's Burgers? It's like, well, because McDonald's is at 50 and Joe's Burger might be at 80, but they might be at 20. Mm-hmm. I don't know Joe's Burgers. And so I'm just not in the mood to gamble with my burger this afternoon. I want to go to McDonald's because it's a 50, you know, and with an independent pharmacy, you know, on average, they might be, us included many times, there's many times where maybe we're at a 40. We're not even at the average in some cases. I'd like to think we are. I'd like to think we're above that. But the customer doesn't know that.
Exactly.
They don't want to gamble on their health, on their prescription. So they're going to go to some place that they know has made it, in quotes, but like a McDonald's. But they might not be sharing stories home to their family and how great it was, but they know they're not going to walk away hungry, let's say.
Of course. And that's a very true statement in how we were able to enter the market and dominate and get to the place that we're in. We studied the independents in the area. We studied the chains to know what they do well and what they don't do well. But that gave us an opportunity to jump out and run and stay consistent and stay ahead. So now the downfall to it is whenever we decide to slow down or just stop or, hey, we've had enough, guess what that happens? That gives the next person to enter the marketplace because they've stopped or slowed down their consistent branding, their consistent aggressiveness in the community and things like right. that. You've lost that connection.
Yeah. What happened to Parker's? They must have, you know. You're just going down to average, but people think something happened to you.
So, I mean, we're definitely going to be extremely aggressive throughout our entire campaign because I just read a book, the 22 immutable laws of marketing.
Yeah.
And it is always saying instead of trying to focus on the great customer service, we need to focus on acquiring new business to stay alive.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So how are we marketing ourselves to acquire the new business that we can then, secondly, provide that great customer service?
Yeah.
So we can't.
I want to say, let me test my memory. I want to say Trout. Does that ring a bell as the author of
Al
that?
Al Rees, and I think, I forget his first name. It was two guys that.
Trout, I think. I remember. Because they had. They had some other big books too, and then I think they might have split or something like that. All right, so Kyle, so we've got the lead up, we've got the events, we've got the consistency and the quality of the social media. Mm-hmm. Are those the legs of a three-legged stool for what you guys have done so far, or is there other things in the mix?
We have other details, you know, but for the time's sake, what I can say is. Because everyone's like, man, that's a balance. You guys have a great team. Your brother gets to do the pharmacy manager. You get to focus on the community branding, the marketing. So it goes together well. I can do all of these things that you seem to say that they're great. But if the business, isn't excelling employee wise, as well as the service that we're putting out to the customers, my marketing would not do what it needs to do. And I'll repeat that, right? So we can have the best marketing in the world, but if your burger sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
It sucks, you know?
Yeah.
And so I tipped my hat off to Orlando. I texted him like at 11 o'clock last night. I was like, hey, man, you're a beast at what you do. You know,
That's cool.
Literally last night because – as you know, it's a monster back here to not only just do your day-to-days, but provide a culture for your employees to really accept and believe in, you
Heck
know,
yeah.
and to consistently take on new growth, you know? So,
yeah. You can have the best social in the world, but if the customers get someone grumpy, that's just window dressing.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's I really do appreciate our team because we're both learning from each other. So sooner or later, I plan on knowing this pharmacy side that he knows extremely well. Am I there yet? No. Eventually, I definitely will get there and he'll learn some of my strategies and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's working, right? So I know some pharmacy owners that may be listening to this are some, you know, the best is always at the end of a book, right? So I know some pharmacy owners that are listening or future pharmacy owners are listening. Okay, man, you're doing all of this. The pharmacy side is handling business. The marketing side is getting done well. What's the return on all of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as of, I think, 2 weeks ago, we're at, so from April 19th to now, we're at a year and 5 months. We're at like 5,100 patients. 16,000 followers on social media platforms, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, email marketing. And we have yet to do the traditional route as far as marketing in our community. So, meaning I've heard that when you're opening up a pharmacy, hey, go introduce yourself to the physicians around town.
Gotcha. Right. Right.
Being transparent, Mike, we have yet to speak with one physician since we've opened.
You've gone around the edges. I mean, you haven't done anything traditional.
Unorthodox, but let me be honest. That's phase two. So now we are strategizing now on introducing ourselves, which to be honest, we've built up this campaign. Our customers are also speaking to them, to their doctors about Parker's Pharmacy. The doctors are inviting us over.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's the reverse effect now.
Yeah. They're saying now it's like,
I've heard about you.
Well, not only I've heard about you, but I've been expecting you.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That's exactly
where have you
what it
been?
Is.
Where have you been? I've been expecting you, you know?
You know, and to answer that, we've been busy just focusing on, you know, just striving for excellence. So
yeah.
So we are looking forward to that phase. So the current patients that we have now should double within like the next 6 to 8 months.
I can see the action right there at the store. You got a lot of stuff going on with people wanting your ear and stuff like that. You're growing. Let me ask you some questions. How many people do you have on your marketing side? Would you say you've got you and your graphics person? What do you have, and what do you probably need for the next year, let's say?
For the next year, we're good with the team that we have now. It's myself. I have a graphic designer. I have a PR content writer, a videographer, and a photographer. That's the key team members of our marketing team that will last for a while until we grow and have 5 or 6 pharmacies. I don't know. Right?
Are they around? Are they?
We meet weekly.
Weekly, and then they mm-hmm. do some of their own stuff. And okay.
Yep. Our PR person is extremely important. As you know, you get a lot of people in the pharmacy trying to sell you advertisements mm-hmm. and different things like this that may work, may mm-hmm. not work, whatever. I like to work smarter and reserve as much cash that we can mm-hmm. to put somewhere else. So our PR person is extremely important. You can probably find one at your local university mm-hmm. that is able to write at an efficient level, a proficient level, I'm sorry. And understand strategy. So I'll give you an example of how a PR person is so important. We were able to, we have our fair shares of hurricanes here in Louisiana. So I think it was Hurricane Florence that hit the East Coast this past year, and they had North Carolina that was majorly affected. So immediately as I watched on the news that the hurricane was coming, it was going to be really, really bad, I contacted a place called Camp Cedar Cliff in North Carolina, where evacuees will travel and get housed.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, what can I do here to get it, to get our community to support them?
Mm.
We understand that feel already.
Yeah,
you can
right.
find this on our social media as well. So
yeah.
Over like 4 days, I'm sorry, over like a week long, we had people stop by our pharmacy donating toiletries, the day-to-day items that you need to survive if you're an evacuee. So we did that. And while we're doing that, to raise awareness for it, our PR person reached out to the local news stations, every news station, the local newspapers, and the local radio stations. So combined, if I had to put a dollar amount on it, Parker's Pharmacy for assisting these people in North Carolina, we saved like $25,000 of advertising that the news outlets gave us free because it was such a great deed that we were doing to help individuals in another state.
Yeah.
So strategy was included there, but the PR person presented these stories to the outlets and they jumped onto it, which people still come up to us today saying that, hey, I heard you on the radio when you guys were doing things like that. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and boy, those things, and it's all still focused down in that funnel, down to someone's heart.
Exactly. So, I mean, literally, that's all you'll really see from us, you know, is being able to help each other.
I'm guessing you guys, we don't see many things coming out from you. You're not going to be talking about prices and discounts and those kind of things so much, right?
No.
And that's what I do on my end. But explain how that can kind of hurt things, actually.
First and foremost, we're not trying to be the cheapest.
Yeah, right.
You know, we're going to do our best to get you the most savings that you can be, but we don't want to be labeled as the cheapest pharmacy in town.
No, because that throws you into a bucket of cheap things.
Exactly. So we know that the level of customer service that we provide, we also provide free prescription delivery every day. Mm-hmm. So we know we are providing things that the competition isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to put ourselves in a barrel or a bucket, as you stated, and say, hey, we're the cheapest pharmacy in town.
Mm-hmm.
We have quality, and we want people to understand that, hey, if I go here for the cheapest, I'm going to also have to put up with the lack of customer service. I'm going to have to wait forever or whatever the case may be. But if I go here, it may be a little bit more expensive.
Yeah.
But man, they treat me like family every time I walk in the pharmacy. If I can't get to the pharmacy, they're delivering it to my house, job, wherever I ask them to.
Right.
You know, they'll bend over backwards. So I don't recommend that pharmacies out there and future pharmacy owners out there try to be the cheapest.
No.
And just be the most reasonable.
Most reasonable. You
know, and understanding.
Yeah. And there's very few companies that can try to pull that off. And one of them, as I brought up before, I brought up McDonald's. But have you ever noticed McDonald's? They've got to speak to both sides, but they never do it in the same ads. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll have one, and maybe not even so much now, because maybe they've taken that cheap route a little bit more. But at least 10 years ago, you'd see a McDonald's ads over here. It would be a grandpa with his child walking through a park and just enjoying the day and, you know, the smiles. And then you'd have an ad with the way over here, you know, a different time of day. It'd be the prices popping up and so on, but never ever together, you know, because they know that they have to have, and that's risky. But if you have enough money, I suppose you could do it by hitting one area with this and one area with that. But it's risky. Right. It's risky for people to see that in your marketing if you don't have the world's budget. And even then, it's probably not even so smart these days.
Of course. No, I mean, at the end of the day, we just try to be as efficient as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
We can do a lot of different things that the industry standards say to do as far as marketing goes.
Yeah.
We have an unorthodox approach. And I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of pharmacies and businesses has the community at heart, but we really have it at heart, and we make strategy around it year round. So it's just going well.
I could pick your brain all day, but let me ask you a couple questions here.
Okay.
You're doing something bigger than Parker's Pharmacy right here.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about that a little bit. What other company would you be doing what you're doing right now in? Okay. And what I mean by that is, let's say your brother wasn't in pharmacy and you're in Montana and you're going to come back there. What other industry would you hit that if you couldn't do pharmacy, what could you repeat like this?
I feel like I can cater my marketing to any industry, first and foremost. I just need to understand it and really believe in what I'm about to go after.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, I'm going to get back to teaching.
Mm.
You know, and maybe it's teaching the marketing. I love to just educate and try to get people ahead of what we were at that point of their lives type deal. You know, so I would love to, I do a lot of seminars right now. I say a lot. I do a few seminars throughout the state right now to assist business owners with their marketing, their branding, their strategy right now. But after we get this ship sailing,
yeah,
and I'm able to disconnect a little bit more. So One of my goals is to really get on the road nationwide to teach marketing and strategy.
At the heart of all the marketing, is it always going to go down to the heartstrings, or is that mainly because of where you are and medical and things like that? For example, if it was athletics that you were advertising, would you also go down to the heart, or might you go to something else, or does everything point to the heart?
Depends on who you are, right? But if you want something to last as long as possible or for long term, the best way to make it last is to hit them where the heart is.
Hit them where the heart is. And it might be different for younger people in sports. It might be a different heart. That might be like feeling good about themselves.
You just change the strategy up.
Same heart, but different strategy.
That's all it really is, you know. You really just, while I was in Montana, I did a lot of this in Montana while I was out there for 10 years. And so I was running a marketing firm, but I also did sporting events. I also ran a sporting event company for the youth in Montana, where I brought in NFL, NBA athletes to come in to, this is Montana. Athletes are really not going to this state. And right. I knew that, you right. know, but I brought the athletes out there where they will do free camps, autographs, everything for the kids, you
yeah.
know, just because the community needed that.
Yeah, and their heart is, it's not health, but it's believe in themselves and do this and that.
To go out and be anything that you want to be.
All right, did you hang up the high tops yet, or are you still getting in some ball during the week?
I hung them up. I had to hang them up. I tore my patella tendon at 30, and then after that, I was like, oh, no more.
You still doing that for exercise or anything, or not? You still dribbling and shooting in that, or not so much?
Not so much anymore. I just posted something on my personal Instagram. I had a dunk contest against against the NBA slam dunk champion, Zach LaVine. He's a good friend of mine. But after that, I was done. I go to the gym by myself now just to stay in some type of shape. But other than that, no basketball anymore.
No basketball.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Picking up something else.
All right. Hey, Kyle, thanks so much. Thanks for your time. I'm excited for this relationship that I know who's putting this good stuff out.
Hey, no, Mike, I appreciate you allowing me to join you on this podcast. I'm pleased to join you. I'm excited to see what you have in store with everything in your future. So I know this is the beginning of a relationship that we personally have, man, but I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what you're going to show me, and I'm going to learn from you.
That's humbling. Thank you. Thank you, Kyle. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure here, man. And thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Please subscribe for all future episodes.